The title of the message for today is Where is your father? And that is a question to you, actually. Okay, where is your father? I don't know what's going through your mind. My father passed away about 28 years ago. If you could just picture me, I'm not that old. So if my father passed away 28 years ago, that means he died pretty young. Yeah, he was in early 50s. Died of a very painful cancer. And never really got to see his grandchildren growing up. And he's with the Lord. And he was a devout Christian. And I have confidence that he's with the Lord. So the question is, where is your father? It's not really about where is your earthly father. Today I want us to answer, especially before we come to the table, okay, which is not, I hope it's more than a ritual to you, right? And where is your father? Who is your father? Okay. What kind of question is that? You know, we're in a church. And do you mean to say, I mean, there is a different option? Well, apparently, because especially when we look at John chapter 8, Jesus speaks about two fathers. My father, if you could just look at me, Jesus saying, my father and your father. Okay? Apparently there are two fathers. Okay? And strikingly, he's saying your father is the devil. Okay? No wrapping it up, no exaggeration, no beautifying the word. He tells these religious people that your father is the devil. Okay, and they thought God is our father. They thought Abraham is my father, our father. But God said, no, 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 he's not. Devil is your father. That's a very offensive word, isn't it? And I think, I don't know whether you notice it, as we just progress toward the midsection of John's gospel, Jesus kind of reveals himself as Jesus that we normally don't talk about. How many of you want to be like Jesus? Seriously, would you say amen? If you do, you got to be like Jesus of chapter 8. Is that a bad Jesus? As opposed to there is a good Jesus? No, not at all, actually. What you see in chapter 8 is Jesus, and that's who God is. Remember in the beginning of John's gospel, we said God was always like Jesus. That's a very meaningful theological statement. God was always like Jesus. He's a straightforward. And what we see in this section of John's gospel is that, especially from chapter 8 all the way to chapter 5 to chapter 8, we see sort of like a debate. We hear a lot of debates these days on TV. Okay, who's good, who won, yeah, who won the, whatever. But we see a pretty at each other kind of debate between religious leaders and Jesus God himself. And they're not kind. Okay, if you read it carefully, it's pretty straightforward and pretty strong. And the more the opponents, the religious people, these evil people who wanted to kill Jesus, that's evil people, try to murder Jesus. And they will, okay? The more they show their hatred, what does Jesus do? Kind of backs off? No, he doesn't. He strikes with piercing blows into their empty hypocrisy. Okay? You know what? Your father is not Abraham. Your father is not God. He really never backs off, and he does not patronize them, and he doesn't feel like I'm losing my audience, so maybe I should back off a little bit. He doesn't do that. He really doesn't do that. Okay? He condemned sin. He came to condemn sin so that he may be condemned for those who put their trust in him. Okay? And the only way to deal with sin is not patronizing it, but straightforward and be honest, and that's exactly what Jesus does. Okay? Do you want to be like Jesus? Seriously, people. Okay? Do you want to be like Jesus who is merciful, loving, forgiving? Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. No question about it. But what about this Jesus? Is this bad Jesus? Is this like a abnormal Jesus? No. This is Jesus. This is who God is. Okay, so in chapter 7, just going back just a little bit, they try to arrest him. They can't take him anymore. So they try to arrest Jesus, but they couldn't because they just couldn't. Because no one speaks like Jesus. Remember that? The authority, the pose. I think his hour has not come yet, right? In chapter 8, these opponents, they try to trap him with their puny wisdom, right? Remember that? Using that woman who was caught the act of adultery. Poor woman. They don't care about this woman. They just don't. All they want to do is just get Jesus and kill him. It's a murderer's intent, people. This is evil. Okay? And then, the section right before what we're going to be talking about, they try to tell them, your testimony is not valid because there is no witnesses. There are no witnesses that is valid witnesses to you. Jesus keeps saying, my Father is my witness and I am my witness. So, finally, the debate goes to really, really low point. Basically, these opponents of Jesus kind of like taunt him and kind of like insult him with three questions. And I'm going to start with the three questions that we're going to see in today's text. And I'm going to apply that question to you because you need to be able to answer those questions. Number one, they ask Jesus, where is your Father? Number two, are you going to kill yourself? Is he going to kill himself? Okay, and then the last question is, who are you? Okay, or who do you think you are? Basically, those are the three questions. Okay, so that is a kind of summary, and I want to share what Jim Boyce say about Christianity, people. I don't know what you're expecting, you came to church and expecting. But can I just read what Jim Boyce said? There are truths that need to be stated whether or not men and women are offended. Okay. As a result of it, or chapter 8, we have the clearest teachings about Satan, Diabolus, devil. Okay. Why is it the clearest? Because Jesus taught it. How many of you think demonology or Satanology, there is such a word, by the way, okay, Satanology or demonology taught by Jesus is something that we need to pay attention. Could you say amen? You better, actually, because that is the truth, okay? Number one, he said he exists, and he's personal, okay? So, as a result, we have the clearest teaching about Satan and about the truth that God is not the Father of all of us, all men. If God is not the Father, then who is the Father? According to Jesus, devil is the Father. That's a pretty offensive. Some of you came here for the first time today, and I'm really, really glad that you have, actually. And I was just a little bit worried last night. Oh, man, this is not the message that people will take it well. Part of me thinking. But that's just my human worries. This is the message that Jesus gives in John chapter 8. Either your Father is God or demon. Okay. Wow, that's so low. That is so unsophisticated. That is so un-American. You may be thinking, but according to timeless truth of Jesus, that's what Jesus speaks today. Three questions. Okay, where is your Father? Second question, is he going to kill himself? And the third question, who are you? So, here is the today's text, and we pick up from that they try to discredit Jesus' testimony, and this is the question. They said to him, therefore, where's your Father? You keep saying about your Father, where is your Father? And Jesus answered this very, very important theological statement, if you could listen to this. You know neither me nor my Father. Wait a minute. These religious leaders who took law and the temple and Moses as like everything. And they surely believe that God is my Father and we have a place in heaven. And Jesus is saying, you neither know me, nor know my Father. Probably doesn't know, they didn't know whom he was talking about. And then he says, if you knew me, you would have known my Father also. And here's a big truth, people. A lot of people say, I know God, but I don't really know Jesus. But according to Jesus, that's an impossibility. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of who God is. In the latter days, God has spoken through Jesus. And it's impossible to know God without knowing Jesus. Does that make sense at all? Okay. Jesus stated this stunning statement. The debate going back and forth and it's escalating. The animosity and the hatred. God hates evil people. He doesn't cajole. He doesn't patronize. He hates evil. And these people hated him and they wanted to murder him. You know why? Because their father was the devil, the murderer. And we're going to see that. Verse 20. See, these words he has spoken, okay, in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Verse 21. So he said to them again, I'm going away. Listen to this. And you will seek me. And you're not going to find me, but this time he says, you're going to die in your sin. Okay, now, can you look at me? And if I were to stand here, I don't know how many people are sitting here, I tell you, you're going to die in your sin. What would you do? You would be very, very upset, wouldn't you? You mean to say I took shower and I came to church and you mean to say I'm going to hell? You're going to die in your sin? What does that mean? That's a straightforward statement, isn't it? What does that mean? I want to go to what that means. Bible speaks about there are two ways to die. One, according to Revelation 14, you die in the Lord, okay? And the other option is you die in your sin. Humanity is divided into two kinds of death. One is die in your sin, which means you will be liable and you'll be responsible standing before the judge when you stand before the judgment of God, and you will be responsible to pay for the sin that you have committed. And the other option is, Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are those, are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Okay? To die in your sin means die with your burden of one's sin upon oneself, and as a result, to be forced to bear the penalty of sin, which is the spiritual death, Jim Boyce. Okay? Just think about it, people. And Jesus is straightforward. You're going to die in your sin. You're going to seek me, but you're not going to find me. But this time he says, you're going to die in your sin. Okay? Wow. That's a pretty amazing statement. Okay, God says the wage of sin is death. You know, we all are scheduled to die. Okay, I use the word schedule. It's in the Google calendar. Okay, we're scheduled to die. And physical death is the separation of our soul and spirit from the body. Okay, body remains here and soul and spirit is separated. However, spiritual death is the separation of the soul and spirit from God or the grace of God. That's the biblical teaching. That's the biblical doctrine. By the way, little announcement. We're starting this class called Foundations today. Okay? And many of you have signed up. And you could still sign up. Okay? Why is that important? Because we all have something called worldview. Okay? Worldview. In other words, through the lens of worldview you have and I have, we interpret everything. Okay? What is the worldview? Worldview is a set of belief that makes you believe and you interpret everything. For example, let me give you an example. Bible says there is life and there is eternity. And if you believe it, what would you do? You would interpret it that way and you would live it that way. Agree? Yes. Okay. If you do believe it, you would believe it And you will say you believe it, and you will live according to your belief. That's the worldview. Bible says there is a greater value and ears in eternity. And a lot of people say, I believe it, but in life, and they don't. Okay? That means the worldview is saying that you really don't believe it. How many of you think your health is important? Especially in this outbreak of this virus. Wow, this is pretty little scary, isn't it? Every morning I check CNN and BBC, and I hear about death toll rise to over 800 and over 30,000 cases. Now it's over 25 countries. Will it happen in New York? You know. How many of you think health is important? How many of you think health is so important that you need to wash your hand? Of course. If you believe it, you will live it. That's your worldview. But where is that worldview coming from? Is it coming from the truth? Or is it coming from all different places that you don't even know where you got them? Or basically you're following what people say, what is true. People, do you get it? Right? Do you get it? So let's go back to the scripture. So that was the first question, okay? And the second question was, do you mean to say, you know, you won't be able to come where we are? Maybe he's going to hell. That's why they ask, is he going to kill himself? People believed in Jesus' time, especially the Judaism, if you kill yourself, you'll be end up in the lowest part of Hades, hell. That's what they believed. They really despised, you know, killing himself. And basically, they're taunting him, insulting him. Maybe he'll kill himself. Are you going to kill yourself? And the truth of the matter is, in 6 months later, they're going to kill him. Wasn't that the case? Right? So the Jews said, will you kill himself? Second question. Then he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. Wow, that's a blow, isn't it? Where I'm going. Where's Jesus going? To the Father, his Father. Where are these people going? To their Father. Different Father, different place. That's what Jesus is saying, okay? And then he clarifies even further. He said to his opponents, you are from below and I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world, right? I told you that you would die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. And you will die in your sin. And there is the gospel, people. You're going to die in your sin. And that's the destiny. That's the fate of all human beings. Unless you believe I am he. Okay? I am he. Who is he? He who died for your sins. Messiah Christ, Son of God. Who will be resurrected. Okay? Unless you believe, you're going to die in your sin. And then the third question, which they couldn't understand what's going on. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Who are you? Right? That's the tone. And Jesus said to them, just as I've been telling you from the beginning, I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declared to the world that I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. They just didn't get it. The real question is, where is your Father? Who is your Father? Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, that's himself, and they will kill him, right, to the cross. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know I am he. How are they going to know? Resurrection. Resurrection. He will be rise, right? That I am he, that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And look at verse 30. And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. Even in this really going at each other debate, when Jesus spoke and the word of God is spoken, it does not return in void. People began to believe. Isn't that amazing? I really praise God that today, as the word of God is spoken, not because me, because of the word, that you will begin to believe. I really do believe that. Okay? Now, hang on, okay? It gets a little simpler. I know this chapter is kind of complicated. And this section about you are slave to sin, we'll deal with it next week. I don't know whether you're in addiction or slavery. Some of you are. Okay? Some things are obvious, some things are not as obvious. Something like alcohol is pretty obvious. But there are subtle things you're addicted to. Like, you only care about yourself. Anger. Deep dissatisfaction and anger. I don't know. You may be a slave to sin. But here's the thing. If your father is the devil, he treats you like a slave. If God is your father, you are his son. And that's what he's going to talk about, right? That's next week. But could you look at verse 38? This is the key statement. He's speaking to his opponents. This is Jesus speaking. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? I think it is very clear. I speak my father's word, and you do your Father's work. What is clear about this teaching here? There are two fathers, and my Father is not your Father, and your Father is not my Father. I think that's very clear. Okay, so they're getting confused, right? But Jesus and or God is saying, my Father, whatever I heard from him, I'm going to do it. And your Father, you're going to do it, whatever you learn from your Father. You know that word? Like Father, like Son. Like Father, like Son. Like the Father you live, Son lives. And at the end, you're going to end up with your Father. Like Father, like Son. If God is your Father, you would want to live like God. And you would end up with God. And you are with God. If your father is the devil, Jesus is teaching, you live like the devil. Murderer and liar. Okay, and then you will end up with your Father. Okay, so here's the big, big debate. Who is your Father? Where is your Father? And here's the argument. The debate. They answered first, Abraham is our father. Okay, and they were so proud of that. And they were for sure, because Abraham is our father and we are his descendants, we are God's people. And they were so confident of that. And Jesus said, no, you're not. Okay. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham did. What did Abraham do when he heard the word of God? He obeyed and he followed and he loved God. But you try to kill me. You can't be Abraham's children. Okay? But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. I'm giving you the truth. And I heard from God, and you're trying to kill me. You're not Abraham's children. Okay? Whoa. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father did. Okay? And then they shoot back. They said to Jesus, we are not born of sexual immorality. What does that mean? See, Israelites, they really believe they are special because they are Israelites and married with Israelites, never married Gentiles, and they were pure breed of Abraham. Okay? As opposed to, do you remember that? Galilee, and then there's a Judah. In between what? Samaria. Samaria are the people who have intermarried all these different people by Assyrian invasion. And they despise them. And later on, they accuse Jesus, you are of Samaria and you are of devil. Okay? In other words, we are pure breed and you are sexual immorality. Secondly, what about Jesus' father, earthly father? What happened? Mary was pregnant before he got married. Remember that? So what did people thought of him? Probably some sort of sexual immorality. So what they're saying is accusing Jesus. See, you're sexually immoral, but we are not. That's what they're going after. And you know what? Our father, we have one father, and that's God. That's what the religious people are saying. And you know what Jesus say? No, he's not. No, he's not. Okay? Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would have loved me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. Here's the truth. How do you know who your father is? There's a simple truth. If God is your father, you love Jesus. That's how it is. If God is your father, you love Jesus. What does it mean to love Jesus? We had a Bible study last night with some people. What does it mean that you love someone? Okay, and it was with small answers, and then we got serious. When you love someone, as a father loves a child, what does that mean? I want to give to my child. What kind of things? Everything that he would need, right? If you love someone, you would want to stay with them, or you don't want to be with them. You would want to be with them. If you love someone, do you think about him or do you not think about him? Of course you think about him. If you love someone, right, do you want to bring joy to him or do you want to just, you know, bring anger to him? You would want to bring joy to him. If you love someone, we were going more and more, and then basically say, nothing matters. If we love someone, you live for him. I think that's what it means to love. And Jesus is saying, if God is your father, you will love Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Okay? This is the word of the Lord. Okay? I know you may be doing much better than the rest of the world. You came to church. I know. What about these people? For all these years, they thought, Abraham is our father, we have the law, we have the temple, and we have a way to go to God, and God is our father, and we're going to go to heaven. That's all they thought about. And you know what? Their temple was empty, and Jesus came, and God came, and basically, no, Abraham is not your father. No, God is not your father. What about you? What make you think that God is your father? Your heritage, your serving, your history of going to church will make you God your father, you think? I don't think so. Not according to the word of Christ. Absolutely not, people. Absolutely not. If not, Jesus is saying, pretty blunt thing today, before you come to the table. What gives you right to come to the table? Your history, your heritage, your family pedigree, your work, your decency, your education. Mm-mm. God saying, no, no, people, no. Do you see? Can you imagine what kind of emotion was rising to these religious leaders? And then Jesus goes even further. Okay, verse 44, he just hits the spot. Verse 44, you are of your father, devil. Okay, your father is the devil. And what you want to do, your will is to do your father's will. Like father, like son. Okay, and then here's the satanology or demonology of Satan. People, listen, okay? Those who do not have Jesus in your heart, Jesus is saying your father is a devil and you want to live like devil. And here's the satanology. Okay? He's a murderer. Someone who wants to murder from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, and because there is no truth in him. And Jesus is the truth and there is no truth in Satan. And he's a murderer and he's the savior. What would they want to do with savior? They want to kill him. That's why. And who wants to kill him? His children wanted to kill him. Why? Because that's what father desired. Their father desires. Because there's no truth. And he's a murderer. Okay? Not only that, the second satanology is when he lies, he speaks out his own character and is a liar. And is the father of lies. You know what? He lies to you. Only if you have this. Only if you have her. Only if you have this business set, everything will be all right and you'll be happy. Those are lies, people. Don't listen to the lies. Only if I get into medical school. I'm sorry. Dental school. I went to dental school many years ago. People always say, why do you have, you know, offend medical students? I'm not. Only if I get this job. Only I marry this person. Those are lies. Those are lies, people. He's a liar, okay? And because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? I tell you the truth. Why do you not believe me? He's almost like pleading to his opponents. Why do you not believe me? And then here's the key statement, verse 47. Okay, would you look at it? Verse 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. And the reason why you do not hear them is because you are not of God. Do you hear it? I think it's very, very clear. Those who are of Christ and those who are not of Christ. Those who are of Christ hear the word of God, and those who are not of Christ, and you cannot hear it. You don't want it. It offends you too much. Can I give you a little Satanology? I really spent time and prepare today's message. Oh, I left it there. Sorry. I want to give you a little biblical teaching about Satan or demon, okay? Here, please listen carefully. Jesus said he's a murderer. You know what? You know what his motive is? You know what his goal is? You know what he wants to do? He wants to kill you. That's his goal. Kill you eternally. He doesn't love you. He hates you. That's what Jesus is teaching. He wants to kill you. You know, I watch some movies related to World War II or Holocaust. When I watch those movies, sometimes I think, wow, that's not human. And that is not human. That's Satan, right? What do? They just kill. They don't really care. They kill. Satan wants to kill you. He wants to kill your sons and daughters. He wants to kill your spouses, and he wants to kill you, and he wants to kill you eternally. That's all he wants. He doesn't love you, and he has no mercy. He doesn't. And Jesus is teaching, God is teaching, that he is a murderer. And those who belong to him, that's exactly what he wants to do. Okay? Given a chance, you'll do the same, I'll do the same without Christ. You know, I went to Africa. And there was a genocide in 1994. That's not that long ago. There was a genocide in Yugoslavia. I went to Yugoslavia not too long ago, okay, before their country was divided. There was a genocide in Europe not too long ago. If it is true that enlightenment should bring utopia and heaven and forget the religion, it should get better. But over the 2,000 years, last 100 years, we killed more human beings than 2,000 years together. How do you explain that, people? You think we are okay? Satan is a murderer. And his objective is to take you with him to the lake of fire, which he knows he's going to. That's the only objective he has. And he's a liar. He's going to continue to lie to you. Okay? Let me give you some information about Satan that I searched from the scripture. Satan is a Hebrew word for accuser. Okay? Accuser. Look at you. Those who accuse others, that's satanic expression. Okay? And the Greek translation of Satan is diabolos. You go to a restaurant, you have diabolos. And they taste good. Right? That means devil, people. Okay. It means accuser, adversary, and the enemy. That's who he is. Okay. Satan rules in the hearts of all those who do not born who is not born of God. Let me just go to that. Okay. This is John MacArthur. 1 John 3:8 says, "He who commits sin is of the devil." And John chapter 8, Jesus says the same thing. Did you get that? Child of God or child of Satan? This is as low as it's going to get, people. I know we're living in America. We're living in very highly respect one another, postmodern, educated audience here. But child of God or child of Satan? This is what the whole passage is about. Children of devil are any people who serve him. Any people who don't have God through Christ are children of Satan. And his two passions are murder and to lie. Okay? John MacArthur. Okay. But I respect Jesus more than John MacArthur. Okay? Jesus say he's a murderer and he's a liar. Okay? What's Satan's objective? Keep you out of Jesus' kingdom. To kill you, basically. How does he do that? If you remember Jesus' parable of the sower, the word of God is being preached right now, right? And you have no room to receive his word. So what is he going to do? The bird comes, the Satan comes, he's going to snatch away the word. You don't remember anything. All you want to do is just want to go home and lie down. And I did my Sunday duty. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan blinds the minds of people so that you will not see the light of the gospel. Gospel is being preached every single week and you don't see the light. You're in darkness. That's what Satan does. It blinds you. Just don't listen to him. Filter him out. Okay? Number four, he brings persecutions in your life. On a systemic level as well as on a personal level. And I thought this was really, really striking. If you look at Matthew chapter 13, Satan places a counterfeit Christians in the church and bring confusions. Remember the story of tares and wheat? And the servant asked, maybe we should pluck them out right now. But the owner says, no, leave it until the harvest. He sows counterfeit Christians to bring confusions and bring lies to you. Okay, and lastly, Satan seeks weak and sick. Those who are behind, be careful, people. I love National Geographic. I love lions. If you come to my office, you'll see a lion. Lion of Judah. Okay, and the lions go after the weak ones and young ones first. Okay. And that's what devil does. Devil has no mercy, people. So how do we counterfeit? Oh, before we show you counterfeit, I don't want us to be really get scared of Satan. Okay? Let me give you some biblical teaching about Satan. Satan may be opposed to God, but he's by no means equal to God. Satan is a creature. Satan is a limited being. Satan is not God. He's a spiritual being. He's a personal being, but he's not God. Satan is a creature and God is a creator. Satan is powerful and potent, but God is omnipotent. Okay? Satan is knowledgeable and crafty and cunning. He's kind of like cunning and smart, but God is omniscient. Satan is localized in his presence. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. He's a creature, but God is omnipresent, which means wherever you are, he could protect you if you are in Christ. Okay? Satan is finite, and God is infinite. And the list goes on, but it is clear from the scripture that Satan is an ultimate force, is not an ultimate force in any sense. We're not doomed to an ultimate conflict with no hope of resolution. The message of scripture is, victory, full, final, and ultimate victory. And this is how it is. It is not our doom that it is certain, but Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, Revelation chapter 20. Okay, but Satan will be doomed, and his head had been already crushed by the heels of cross, Christ on the cross. His head is crushed, people. That's why he's going around trying to swallow someone. No teeth. Just need to swallow someone who is the Alpha and the Omega. Above all sufferings, death stands the crucified and risen Lord. He has defeated the ultimate enemy of life, and Jesus has vanquished the power of death through the cross and resurrection, people. We need to watch out for Satan and devil and the scheme of the devil, but we need not be afraid of him. Okay? So how do we counter attack him or counterpart him? Just a few suggestions. Listen to this carefully. Listen to this. Number one, you need to go into a battle formation. Put on the full armor of God, people. Can you imagine you go to a war in Roman world and naked? Don't imagine it. All the fiery darts coming and arrow coming and you're naked. You know, can you imagine that? How stupid that is. That's why the Bible says, put on the full armor of God. Helmet of salvation. You got to catch your head protected. Breastplate of righteousness. Belt of truth. Readiness that comes from the gospel. If you're not, you're stuck. Shield of faith and sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, people. Okay, put on the full armor of God and resist the devil. 1 Timothy 1:12, in the faith. And you know how you fight? Listen carefully. Put on the full armor of God and on all occasions, pray in the spirit without ceasing. You know what the battle is? Prayer. People don't seek God unless you want to seek God. You know why it's so difficult to mobilize people to pray? Somebody say, people who's doing ministry in this generation, it's kind of easy, I don't know how true that is, easy to mobilize people to praise. But it's very difficult to mobilize people to pray. Do you pray? You go to a war naked. That's how you are if you don't. Come on, church. Come on, mothers. Come on, church leaders. Come on, Christians. If the church get on his knee, get on her knee, okay, and the church will stand. If Christians don't get on our knees, church will collapse. Okay? And going to a war naked, just shoot me. Try me. Easy target, people. Okay? So, Satanology, demonology. Okay. I want to just come to a final two thoughts and then we'll go to communion. Three questions. Where's your father? Second question, is he going to kill himself? Third question, who are you? I think Christians know. Okay, where's my father? I'm definite. God is my Father. Whoever believes, receives, and believes in his name, he has given the right to become children of God. Is God your Father? I'm really seriously asking you this question. Second question, did he kill himself? In a way, he gave his life for me. That sounds like kill himself. Why? Because he loved me and he gave himself for me. Who is he? I know who he is. He's the Christ and Son of the living God. Brothers and sisters, without Christ, you're going to die in your sins. Okay? Your mother will die in your sins. Your father will die in your sins. Your spouse will die in your sins. Your child who goes to this great school will die in your sins. Without Christ. Unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sin. Okay? Remember, Satan is a liar and he's a murderer. He doesn't love you. He doesn't love you, people. Don't try to kind of like patronize him. He doesn't love you. He has only one objective. He wants to kill you. He wants to take you to where he's going to be. He wants to take your spouse to the same place. He wants to take your children to the same place. That's what Jesus is teaching people. And Jesus gives this a gospel. You're going to die in your sin unless you believe that I am He. Or else you're going to die in your sin. Let's pray.